Signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/radio. That's ethos.com/radio.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Hey everyone, Boomer here. You know, I visited River Spring Living in Riverdale, and I can tell you firsthand, there is a reason they're the nation's leader in senior care. Walking through the halls, the energy is undeniable. From life-changing technology to personalized care and compassion, I've seen the difference they make in helping older adults live better lives. So whatever your needs are today or tomorrow, River Spring Living is here for you. Experience the difference for yourself. Visit riverspringliving.org. That's riverspringliving.org.
MSC Cruises feels so stylish and European. Let's espresso and gelato.
Espresso and gelato? Those aren't verbs.
Yeah, on MSC Cruises they are.
Oh, well, in that case, I'm into the American stuff. Let's coffee and soft serve.
Sounds like a plan. Maybe later we can chaise lounge and espadrille?
I think you mean pool chair and flip-flop.
Get up to 40% off cruises, plus get up to $750 onboard credit and kids sail free. To book, visit msccruises.com or contact your travel advisor. Restrictions apply. Ships registered in Panama and Malta.
At Town Fair Tire, New England's largest name brand discount tire dealer, you get it all. The guaranteed lowest price, the most free services, and we accept all valid rebates from any manufacturer and from our competition. Yes, we accept them all, even competitor rebates. Town Fair Tire, New England's largest discount tire dealer, now with over 120 stores from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Name brands at discount prices. Town Fair Tire.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
The Fan, Lori Rubenson here with you.
Oh, sorry. That's my phone telling me there's an emergency.
I guess this snow warning, they're taking it seriously. My phone, I have the sound off, but it's overriding to tell me not to go outside. Unfortunately, I've already done that. Connor and I already made the probably poor decision to go outside and get to the station. We are here at the station. I had somebody, one of my listeners, say to me, are you broadcasting from home? I'm like, no, mon ami. I am here in the studio talking to you. We'll see if we get home tonight. All right, but big news, the big news, biggest news of the day, the U.S. men's hockey team winning gold for the first time in 46 years, and to talk about it, we bring in EJ Raddick from the NHL Network. Network does a fantastic job covering hockey. And EJ, thanks so much for joining us.
Lori, thank you for asking, and good luck in the weather. You're a grinder. I know you're a hard worker, so I knew you would not be deterred by a little snow. Or even a lot of snow.
Yeah, what's a, what are they, a snow, snow bomb, snow blast, snow Arctic event, whatever they're calling it. Anyway, yeah. All right. 40 years, 46 years ago, the U.S. men's team, Miracle on Ice, we know all the names, we remember it so well. We won our men's team won an Olympic gold medal in Lake Placid. So 40 years from now, how will we talk about this Olympic gold medal winning team? How will we remember this team?
Well, I think we'll remember two people, really. Connor Hellebuck did an unbelievable job in the biggest of moments and made 41 of 42 saves, including some really terrific saves. And we'll remember Jack Hughes for scoring the game-winning goal. I mean, I think those are the two people that you'll remember more than anybody when you think about down the road. But it's a different time. I mean, USA Hockey has come such a long way in those 46 years. And in particular, to me, Lori, I would say in the last, 20-plus years. Yep. I know, for those of us of a certain age, I mean, U.S. would play Canada, and Canada would just run us out of the barn. I mean, just physically and in every way. And, in the last 20, 25 years, that has changed. The U.S. players, the young kids grow up playing against the Canadian players. They're not really afraid of the Canadian players anymore. And, you know, so, you know, we have a big country here. We have a lot of, you know, a huge population. You get athletes playing hockey. Hockey has grown in some different areas in the United States. You can see it today with Austin Matthews, somebody that grew up in Arizona as the captain of the team. So, you know, they're expecting to have success now. They've had it at the world junior level, winning a bunch of gold medals in the last 20 years. They've had it last year at the World Championships, an event they have not won a gold medal in going back, I think it was to 1933. So, you know, they are, this is a group now, USA Hockey. It's a group where they expect to do well. They expect to medal, and they're going to start to expect more and more to be a gold medalist in these kind of events. So, you know, it's different than in 1980 when it was those upstart, plucky college kids, many of whom, by the way, Lori, turned out to be really good hockey players. We just didn't know how good they were at the time. Different world, different era, but Team USA is, you know, the hockey, USA Hockey has just come a long way in that time. And now they're a team that's expected to have success in these events.
Yeah, no longer a miracle and going toe-to-toe with Team Canada. You mentioned the goaltender, Connor Hellebuyck, and the performance that he had. And for people who don't follow the sport as closely, can you, number one, talk about where does this performance rank in terms of all-time clutch goaltending performances? And also, you could tell in listening to him talk that there was a sense that, you know, that the conversations around, is he a player, you know, can he win the big one? And we've seen the big game, and we've seen this in other sports as well, where, and certainly right now with Connor McDavid and other, like, there's that conversation sometimes around athletes, and, you know, what does this, where does this performance rank, and what does it do for the legacy of Connor Hellebuyck?
Well, it ranks, it's on that list, I think, of all-time single-game goaltending performances. I think his tournament was outstanding. I thought he played really well in the tournament. This was a game when he was tested very severely. I mean, 42 shots, 41 saves, and a couple that he had the good fortune of guys either missing the net or kind of not finding their way. He stopped a number of shots from Celebrini in good areas. He stopped breakaway by McDavid, breakaway by Celebrini, other good chances, the stick that he got on the Devin Toews shot.
That's what I was
going
to say. The Toews save was one of those that was just insane. Like, if people haven't seen it, it was incredible.
Yeah, he was battling. I mean, watching him today, I mean, I've watched Connor Hellebuyck play a ton, obviously, you know, in the league. He's a three-time Vezina Trophy winner as the best goalie in the regular season. He won the Hart Trophy last year as the MVP of the league. And, you know, he's been a really good regular season goalie. But you pointed out, I mean, like, he has it. Now, you know, you don't always have, you know, sometimes the other team's just better than your team. But Connor Hellebuyck's expected to play well in these games. And quite frankly, there's been several games last year. He got pulled at, I think, 3 of the 7 games in the first round matchup against St. Louis, where they came within a second of being eliminated in the first round. They ended up winning in overtime. But, you know, it's been a struggle for him. But certainly this kind of performance in this kind of moment, it changes the conversation. As we've seen, Lori, I mean, you're talking about all the different sports every day. And we see these things happen. And, you know, can a guy win the big game? And when they do, that conversation changes. And those discussions kind of go away a little bit. And I think for Connor Hellebuyck, who knows how things are going to go in the future with the Winnipeg Jets. He signed there long-term. They're having a really tough year this year. It's hard to win the Stanley Cup. It's a unique challenge, and it's really competitive. But I think one thing we can say, Connor Hellebuyck is a great goalie, and he showed today on a big stage that he could get it done.
Yeah. Talking to EJ Raddick about the U.S. men's team, the gold medal-winning performance, and so Hellebuyck was fantastic, and but I, you know, do we say of this game, is it fair to say that the Canadian team got goalied? And when you look at this, were they, It did feel like Canada controlled the action when these teams were skating 5-on-5.
Yeah, I thought so. I really thought so. I thought early in the game started, I thought Team USA came out really good out of the gate and had some scoring chances, but they didn't hit the net. They didn't get a shot until Matt Boldy scored that first goal of the game. So they weren't credited with a shot on goal, but they probably had several good scoring chances where they just didn't hit the net. And then, you know, Team Canada really, I think from that point on, I mean, they had the better of the play for most of the game. And really surprisingly to me, Lori, I thought that, you know, like in years gone by, and I was in Salt Lake City in 02 for the U.S.-Canada game when the game was tied at 2 after 2 periods. The Canadians ended up winning 5-2. I was in Vancouver when Crosby scored the golden goal in overtime. I watched in 14 from Sochi when the teams played in an earlier round and Team USA lost 1-0 in that game. Didn't get much of an offensive, you know, really didn't get a lot of sniffs in that game offensively. Canada's group of defensemen were outstanding. But, you know, in those games, I thought the games were closer. Canada won them all. Today, I thought Canada played the best of any of those games, and they lost. So it just goes to show you, you know, how crazy hockey is. It's kind of a crazy game. The goalie can play well, make a big difference. And some days, it's just your day. I mean, Nate MacKinnon had a golden opportunity looking into an empty net and just kind of flubbed the shot. There was pucks that were bouncing around the crease. I think one, Charlie McAvoy was able to keep out with his chest as the puck was bouncing around. You play that game tomorrow, maybe 8 goals go in for Canada. Who knows? So I thought that Team USA, they battled. The goalie was good. They defended as hard as they could. They had some chances on their own, and Jordan Binnington had to make a couple of big saves. And then when the opportunity arose in overtime, just like last year, Canada in that Four Nations faceoff, Lori, remember that opportunity arose and McDavid scored. This time it came the other way, and Jack Hughes was able to find the back of the net off a great pass from Zach Werenski on that break. And could have easily gone the other way, but for Team USA and for fans, right, they don't care. They're just happy to win. So it doesn't matter who played, you know, because after the game, you know, I think it was Nate MacKinnon says, I dare you to say that, you know, who was the better team. And listen, in that game, the better team on the ice was Canada for most of the game. But the bottom line is they couldn't find a way to score and they couldn't find a way to win.
Yeah, and the way there's no doubt that they controlled a lot of the action 5-on-5. But on the other hand, We talk about hockey as 5-on-5 or 3-on-3, but in reality, even when it's 5-on-5, it's generally 6-on-6. And the goalie is a part of it. And
that's right.
So on this day, look, the U.S. had an advantage in this matchup at goaltender. And certainly Hellebuck was great when he needed to be. And until they could break through. Now, did you also think, a lot of this, it felt like Team Canada, the better team in control for a lot of that second and third period. And then we get to the penalty. Jack Hughes, who is, we are going to remember not just for the golden goal, scoring the goal in overtime, but it felt like the game starts to turn when he takes a high stick to the chops and two of his teeth are broken, and he's broken teeth, bloodied, lying there on the ice. And then shortly thereafter, U.S. takes a penalty and another, and now it's U.S. shorthanded. But it just felt like with all of that, it got Team Canada away from this machine that had felt like, a boulder rolling downhill, that the momentum of the game started to change when Jack Hughes with that high-sticking penalty.
Yeah, I just thought as that game rolled on, and that was part of it, I just felt like, as again, someone who's been around in hockey a long time and played at much lower levels and coached and watched youth hockey and all levels of hockey, it's just like I've seen this movie before, where one team plays better, but yet they can't score. And like, it's just, Canada had a long 5-on-3 in the game. Yep. And that's usually money when you think about McDavid and MacKinnon and McCarr. And they really didn't get much going on the 5-on-3, quite frankly. It wasn't very good. And give credit to Team USA and their penalty killers, and your best penalty killer is your goalie. But, like, they did a great job throughout the tournament. I think they were a perfect 18 for 18 killing penalties. And in these kind of tournaments, Lori, which especially in single elimination games, I mean, special teams are a big deal. And you've got to be able to kill penalties. And Team USA did an outstanding job. And, you know, some of the local guys, you know, when you think about Trocheck and Miller, New York Rangers, it's been a tough year. And there was many, including myself, wondering, like, are these guys, should they really be on this team? But Billy Guerin and Mike Sullivan had a vision for those guys as role players that would help kill penalties. And listen, the proof is in the pudding. There was 18 power plays against Team USA in this tournament, including a lengthy 5-on-3 today against one of the great power plays ever assembled, and nobody could dent them. So, you know, these were all things that had to go Team USA's way to win, and they did.
Yeah, here's a part of a quote from after the game from Vincent Trocheck. As you point out, you know, a couple of one of he and JT Miller on this roster. And he says, I'm pretty effing, I'll use effing, he didn't. I'm pretty effing proud, I'll be honest. Yeah, we heard all the talk that we shouldn't be here. And he goes on to say, but we were able to come here. We had a job to do, and it was to be good penalty kill guys, face off guys, character guys. We took that role and we ran with it. And, you know, in the end, yeah, I think there was, I guess for both teams, there were questions about, you know, is this the best squad? Was somebody left off? Was this the right approach? And, you know, ultimately, U.S. comes out with a win, and so all these decisions look smart.
Yes, Lori, I said it last year at the Four Nations, and I said it in the run-up to this tournament, having talked to Billy Guerin and to talk to Doug Armstrong, who was the GM for Team Canada. If you win the tournament, you made all the right decisions. If you don't win the tournament, then there's going to be the second guessers, right? I mean, there'll be those who say, hey, maybe Canada should have taken Matthew Schaefer from the Islanders, the young kid. You saw how good Celebrini was at just age 19. Maybe they needed another young player like that on their roster that could have given them a boost. So when you win, everything you did is right. Even if it really wasn't, it doesn't matter. And, you know, when you lose, there's, you know, the vultures come out and, you know, we all start to wonder about the ifs and whats and what could have been. But, you know, at the end of the day for Team Canada, I thought they played a great game today. I thought it was their best game of the tournament, and they ended up losing. So that's just the way it goes sometimes.
Talked to E.J. Braddock from NHL Network about the gold medal winning game and the Olympics. And you mentioned before Connor McDavid, obviously one of the best, if not the best player in the world. And yet no gold medal, no Olympic gold medal, and no Stanley Cup. And to be the heir apparent to that great chain of, you know, all-time great players from Canada, what does this game do for his legacy?
Well, I mean, it doesn't help it, right? I mean, they didn't win. So at the end of the day, you know, and I do think that, you know, he was, especially in overtime. I mean, Connor's a great player. He is the best player in the NHL. He's the best player in hockey right now.
Right.
But, you know, in overtime, I thought he tried to take on too much of himself. He just thought, you know, he was wheeling up the ice a couple of times and, you know, trying to take pucks to the net, trying to maybe win the game on his own. And like, listen, great players try to make great plays all the time. That's why they're who they are. They do things that no one else can do. But in a 3-on-3 format, you know, sometimes it's best you know, you want to use your other two teammates in that situation. You want to create possession time. You want to create a crack and then to jump on that opportunity. And I didn't think Canada played the overtime that well. I mean, they got off the jump. They had possession. And, you know, like I said, they never really created zone time and really forced the U.S. to really defend hard. The game got a little back and forth. And in the end, it was just, you know, it's one of those plays in hockey at that, you know, at the U.S. blue line when, you know, Hughes came together with Makar, Hughes was able to bat that puck forward. And, you know, when you watch the play from behind the net, Lori, too, it's like in the 3-on-3 in the NHL, you know, and that's what these guys are used to, right? Like, this is a different scenario because this is a gold medal championship winning event at this moment. not like a regular season game where you cheat the game a little bit and you're looking for that play the other way. And it looked like to me that like Cale Makar didn't really bust it back as hard as maybe he could have because he's used to the NHL 3-on-3 where like, okay, our guy will make a stop and then I'll be in position to jump the other way. In the end, if he had really busted it back, he might have been able to get to Jack Hughes before he got the shot off. Because Hughes, to his credit, Jack Hughes took a great pass from Werenski. He had it on the forehand. He didn't fool around. He just shot it at the goal, and he hit the net, and it went in. It wasn't an unbelievable shot, but the fact that Binnington had to go all the way across opened him up. I mean, so many guys over the time, Laurie, we've seen guys hit the post. We've seen guys miss the net. Jack Hughes didn't miss the net. He hit the net, scores the game-winning goal. So it's just the way things go. And, you know, Makar and Hughes came together there. If the puck went the other way, maybe Canada's celebrating, but it didn't.
Yeah, and you're right in pointing out, I'm not saying it was a lack of effort at all. I mean, this is overtime after 2 weeks of Olympics, but in the middle of an NHL season for these guys, and I'm sure a lot of tired legs, but there was just on that gold medal winning play, golden goal, there was that extra just little burst of energy from Jack Hughes on that play to poke the puck away. And then similarly with Werenski, a physical play to sort of body out, you know, and then be able to put that perfect pass on the stick for Hughes to take a shot. And so a combination of two effort, you know, well done plays there, but also effort plays. And with 3-on-3, you can have that sort of impact. And, you know, once it turned to 3-on-3, it felt like it becomes a little more like just one play can make that, you know, and you're going to have a lot less bodies in the crease and players sort of muddying up everything in front. And it's obviously much more wide open and things turn there. Hey, before I let you go, I also want to turn to give us your evaluation overall of Mike Sullivan and the job he did.
Well, again, they won. So he did a great job. I mean, I look at the numbers today. It was kind of odd for me to see Zach Werenski, who's on the ice. We just mentioned he had the assist on the primary assist on the game-winning goal and the golden goal. He only played 12 minutes in the game. Now, you know, they have great players on their team, but it seems like Zach Werenski is in the conversation with Cale Makar and Quinn Hughes as the best player, best defenseman in the league, and yet today he played 12 minutes in that game. So, you know, that's a decision that Team USA made, and you know what? If they had lost, we would talk about it more. But they won, so it doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, I think Mike is a really good coach. I mean, he's won the Stanley Cup twice in Pittsburgh. You know, you have to have the players to win. When he had the players in Pittsburgh, he won. Now he has the players here with Team USA in a Four Nations face-off and in a Olympic Games. He's able to get to the final in both, and he wins the Olympic gold medal in overtime. He's so detail-oriented. And he's just a really good hockey coach. And I think even with the Rangers this year, Lori, I mean, I know it's been a, you know, a dismal year and it's been a real struggle at home and, you know, it's been well documented. But I think watching the Rangers this year as opposed to last year, I think the Rangers defend much better this year. Now, their goalie has been out for a while and that hurts you. But I just think they defend the middle of the ice much better. It's just that, you know, they just don't have enough players right now to make it work, and they just haven't been able to score at home, which is kind of a bugaboo for them. But I think Mike Sullivan has proven that, you know, he is an excellent coach. And, you know, in the end today, you had two great coaches on each bench. You had John Cooper and you had Mike Sullivan. You had great staffs on both sides, and no stone was left unturned. And they went back and forth, and you know, at the end of the day, it's a 3-on-3 situation that decides the game, and Team USA gets the goal. So I just think the big winner in all of it was the game. You know, a lot of people were watching that game today. Certainly in the U.S., everybody's ecstatic to see the home team win. But I just thought it was a great day for hockey to see so many people care about the sport and to see how good it can be when played at the highest level. And hopefully it'll roll into, you know, the second half of the NHL season here, because we've got a great season going. It's really close, and it's going to be a sprint to the finish line to make the playoffs.
We'll give you the last word on that. EJ Raddick from NHL Network does a great job covering the game of hockey and the league. EJ, really appreciate the time, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
You got it, Lori. And listen, be safe out there.
Thank you. I will. I'll try.
Right.
If
all
I have
right.
to walk home, we'll see. We'll
be
see
careful.
What the roads
be
look
careful.
Like. Yeah.
All right.
Take care. All right. We've got Richie and Richard on the phone. You can also hit me up some comments on X at L Rubinson WFAN. Quick break. Right back with your calls.
Jack Hughes wins it! The golden goal for the United States!
After a thrilling overtime victory, gold is once again around the necks of the American hockey players.
The United States takes the gold!
46 years to the day after the miracle on ice. To Team USA, WFAN congratulates you on achieving Olympic immortality.
Fun is in the driver's seat at Nielsen Dodge. Get a great deal on the new Jeep, Chrysler, Dodge, or Ram you really want with zero down payment available, plus the credit help you need. Shop online at NielsenDodge.com, President's Day sales event.
Town Fair Tire honors any valid rebates, manufacturers, or competitors' rebates. Yes, even any competitors' rebates. And we give you the guaranteed lowest price. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Town Fair Tire.
Shopping with your parents can be embarrassing.
Why would they sell jeans with holes in them? I'm going to speak to the manager.
Mom!
That hoodie is giving. You should get it. YOLO.
Thanks to the Chase mobile app, your kid can shop independently while you keep an eye on their spending. So you can go from...
We can be twinsies!
To...
I was shopping. Saw you stayed on budget.
Thanks, Mom.
Freedom for kids, control for parents. That's family banking from Chase.
Account subject to approval. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A., member FDIC.
When it's time to replace your appliances, Lowe's has you covered. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. And members get more like free delivery, haul away, basic installation and parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan where you spend $2,500 or more on select major appliances. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 225 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, Florida. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Everybody loves a win, and with the New Jersey Lottery, the next winner could be you. Play today at a New Jersey Lottery retailer near you, because anything can happen in Jersey.
All right, they won. You gotta text your buddies, except you're driving. If you have to respond, pull over. Texting and driving is illegal and could lead to an accident. A safety message from the Rothenberg Law Firm, InjuryLawyer.com.
See what sets Mazda apart in the Mazda CX-5. The smart choice for those who expect more from their drive. With standard iActive all-wheel drive and advanced safety features, the CX-5 gives you confidence in every condition. Its effortless handling and responsive performance set it apart from the crowd. Inside, you'll find thoughtful, crafted design for comfort and connection. There's more to a Mazda. Lease the 2020.